All right, well, let us pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day that you've given us to be alive today, Lord. We take that for granted, and so we just thank you and take a minute for that right now, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for each and every person here today, Lord, whether they are a new face to us or a face that we've seen a lot, Lord. I just thank you for each one that has come into this place today to gather together, to be together, Lord, and to worship you. What a blessing this church is, Lord, this place, this building, but Lord, your people that fill it, Lord, their hearts, their servant hearts. Thank you for all that you are doing in all the different ministries of this church. And thank you for each one here. Lord, we pray that your name would be blessed and glorified today through all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen.
So this morning, we are going to be looking at the second of the focus points that we wanted to talk about, where Jesus said, I am. And I'd like to start off, I need to find out how many shepherds we have in the room that take care of sheep. Just raise your hand. You know, don't be shy. None? No. You have a sheep? Sheep, I mean real sheep. The ones that go, bah, you know, those sheep. Pretty good, huh? Yeah. I do animal noises. I do a lot of them. I do a lot of them, and they're pretty good. And so we are going to look at John chapter 10 this morning, where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and what that means. I encourage you to go on our YouTube channel or on our website and catch up to last week, which was kind of a remote thing, where Jesus said, I am the light, and check into what he meant by that. If you turn to John chapter 10, David's going to come up and read to us through John chapter 10 down to about verse 18.
John 10, 1 through 18. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus used this illustration, didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired man runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life, so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded.
Amen. Thank you, David. So Jesus declared, I am the good shepherd. And again, I just want to bring up that there are people who say that Jesus never claimed to be anything more than just a man or have wise teachings, that we've inflated that. Now, if you look at this passage and you hear him talking and he's saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. That's not normal conversation. That's not normal conversation at all. That's big conversation. So again, it's another claim when Jesus said, I am. I am. Okay? So first we need to deal with this. You're up late at night. You're watching, the cable shows, and you're like, I really should go to bed, but I'm going to watch one more of these weird alien encounters or whatever, and you get this weird show, or you listen to some wingnut who has a YouTube channel, and you're like, well, it must be the real thing. He's got 100,000 followers, so, man, that's legit. And he's telling you, he's reading this verse that David read. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. And they play the music, and they fade out, and they're like, oh. And this is proof of the aliens that Jesus was talking about here, that God knows about them, and he has sheep that are not of this fold. And you're like, whoa. And you're watching your YouTube guy, and he's like, subscribe below. And you need to know this information. No! No! Jesus is talking to the Jews that are there. He's teaching in a Jewish setting. And when he says, I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold, he's talking about all of the people beyond the Jews, the Gentiles. Okay, no big mystery, no do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. None of that. It's just clear that he's talking beyond you guys. There are others that are going to come in. My other sheep. And that was a big concept for the Jews, because until then, the God of the Hebrew children was exclusively theirs, right? So that's what that means. So it's not aliens, it's not other planets, it's not ET, it's none of that. It's the Gentiles. I want to start off this morning with a little shepherd showdown, okay? Shepherd showdown, dum, dum, dum. And we're going to have the comparison between good shepherd, bad shepherd, all right? I need your participation. I want you to grab that Bible, go on your cell phone, do whatever, and look up Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 10. Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 10. Your assignment as you find this. And even if you need to, if you're not familiar with how the Bible works or what it even is, and feel free to take one of these with you. The Bible is a library. It's not a novel, okay? It's not a novel. It's got books of poetry in it. It's got books of history. It's got books of genealogy. It's got books of biography in it, okay? It's got epistles, letters of action. So it's a whole library written by more than 40 different authors on 3 different continents over more than a 1,400-year span, okay? So it's quite a book. So when you're looking at Ezekiel, this is one of the prophets, and we're going to look. I want you to scan down 34, verses 1 through 10, and I want you to give me, because this is God telling us what some of the characteristics of bad shepherds are. What are they? What do you see as you scan? They only take care of themselves. What else? They're what? Yeah. Okay. What else? They're taking care of the choice animals? Slaughter them, okay? Slaughtering the choice animals, you know, they're just there for me. These are mine. Anything else? Yeah. The bad shepherd is like, this is just for me to clothe myself, to, you know, I use, they're for my youths. This is that bad shepherd. And remember, the shepherd was normally hired by the owner of the sheep, okay? And normally, the shepherd was hired by the owner of the sheep. So we see this, instead of feeding and protecting the flock, the people, if we're to say, they exploit, and they actually harm them. The flock is left scattered and vulnerable. The flock is being used by the shepherd, okay? That's the bad shepherd. And then you wonder, well, are there bad shepherds to watch out for today? Somebody look up and stand up and read for us 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3. 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3. All right, Tom?
1 Peter 5, 2 and 3. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gains, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock.
This is Paul writing to Peter in a letter to say, be shepherds, be good shepherds over God's flock. Not lording it over them. It's a weird kind of expression. What does it mean? What does it mean? Lording it over them is exercising power or authority in a domineering way. I was in a church when I was younger where the pastor routinely, the shepherd routinely, made decisions for people. They would come to him and say, I am getting transferred to Ohio in my work. Can I go? What? Can I go? Can I go? It implies leadership that's driven by control. I want to control these sheep. I'm going to tell them what they can read, what they can watch, what they can do, what they can see, how they can talk, how they can think. And I'm going to control these sheep for me. Lording it over is manipulation. It means manipulation. It means self-interest rather than compassion or humility. It's asserting superiority. You know, the good shepherd is a servant leader model. He lays down his life willingly. Nobody takes it from him. He lays it down in service to the sheep. So I look and I see, there were bad shepherds then. There are bad shepherds now. You know, which, by the way, we are taking a special offering because I need a new jet to advance God's ministry. My 8,000 square foot mansion is not quite big enough. So we need more. And take $1,000 right now, wrap it in tinfoil, send it in to me, and I will pray for you. What? Looking around, seeing new churches springing up, I saw this one church, and Robin and I said, it had Christ in the name and everything, and I was like, I never heard of that one. Let's look it up. Let's look it up. We look it up, and their bishop prophetess, and it should have been P-R-O-F-I-T, you could, for just $2,400, arrange an appointment with her where she would help you determine what you needed to do and what your direction was and what your future is. And it said it was a Christian church. See, bad shepherds don't look like Christ. They don't speak like Christ. They don't, you know, it's the old illustration. If it walks like a duck, flies like a duck, quacks like a duck, swims like a duck, it's a duck. If it doesn't, same thing. Jesus, if you look at Jesus and you see somebody who's representing Jesus and they say, does he sound like Jesus? Does he act like Jesus? Does he speak like Jesus? Does he walk like Jesus? And if the answer is no, we can confidently say, not Jesus, not like Jesus. All right, so I wanted us to start off to just kind of get those thoughts in our head, good shepherd, bad shepherd, as God has outlined them for us, that Jesus is the good shepherd. And I think that we all have and choose shepherds in our life that we put our trust in. Now, it's kind of a philosophical imaginative. You gotta picture it. Because, like, if you have the shepherd of saying, I take my direction from my career, my 5-year goal, my 10-year goal, my 15-year goal, my 20-year goal, and I make my decisions based on that, that's my shepherd. That's who I'm following. Or you might look and say in the newspaper, I read my little report there, my astrology or... what is it called? I'm not missing the word. What? Horoscope. Yeah. Horoscope. I'm reading that, and I'm determining today what I'm going to do because I'm listening to this voice. I think we choose our shepherds. Sometimes it's finance. It's money managers. Sometimes it's influencers. Sometimes it's trends. And we listen to those voices instead of the voice of the shepherd who laid down his life for us, who put us first. And then if you look at Ezekiel, that further on in verses 10 through 20, you see that God says, I will be the shepherd. I will provide the shepherd, foreshadowing what is to come, that he's going to provide the good shepherd that comes for the flock on their behalf. So this morning, we're going to just look quickly at four things about Jesus as the good shepherd. Those four things is he guides, he provides, he corrects, he protects. Kind of like a little chant for you. Guides, provides, corrects, protects. You know, one of those things you can just put that in your mind. He guides, provides, protects, corrects, protects. So the first point is the good shepherd guides. In Psalm 23, which we're all pretty familiar with, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We know that. We hear it at funerals. Speaking of funerals, we lost Tom this week, Tom Sturgeon. And it's so strange. We've lost three parts of our body in the last 5-6 weeks. We've lost Barbie, we've lost Frank, and we've lost Tom. And you know, the strange thing is, I feel sad about that. I feel sad about that because it's a void in my life. But I know from speaking to each one of them that that's what they wanted. They were getting to that point of being fighting for so long, so long, so long, of saying, I just want to go home. I just want to be with Jesus. So here I am, after getting the news about Tom, of going, okay, the Lord is Tom's shepherd. Tom doesn't want. Tom is lying down in green pastures. Tom has his soul restored. And so I look and I go, these weird emotions in me is sad because I miss Tom's smile. I miss the way he was always causing mischief. I miss that laugh. I miss the way he was the first one to say, yeah, I'll do that. I can take that. I can help with that. I miss that. And for the same reason that Jesus wept, I weep. We weep. So we see this 23rd Psalm, and we hear it at funerals. You see, in verse 3, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. For his glory, he guides me. We said, David read to us, that the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. I want to walk so closely to my Jesus that I recognize his voice, that I can see when I hear something, when I see that YouTube channel that gets sent to me by a friend being like, oh, check this out, that I can go, what? Don't sound like Jesus to me. And look a little deeper and find and search the word. I want him to guide me. I want him to guide me. I want to know his voice. The second thing that the good shepherd provides. The good shepherd provides. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. You know, when David wrote this, remember, David wrote this from the history of being a shepherd. He was a shepherd, grew up to be a king. He was a shepherd. He knows that it's the shepherd's job. What shepherds actually do is they lead the sheep to food and water. They lead the sheep and protect them from predators. They'll go searching for a lost one, one that's starting to wander off. Because you know as soon as they start to wander off, what happens? Watch the Discovery Channel, guys. You'll find out what happens when they wander away from the security of being with the flock. Then the shepherd will go after them and say, oh, no, come on back. They heal the injured. They'll wrap up that leg. They'll be patient with them as they heal and perhaps even carry that sheep around their neck while that leg heals. When David wrote it, he knew it. And so I asked you this morning, you guys who were shepherds, to, you know, identify yourselves. Because I had to look this week when I was studying for this. I had to research agricultural psychology of husbandry and farm animals. Now I get stuff on my Facebook feed. Evidently, there are all these good-looking women looking for farmer wives. I mean, they're looking for a farmer husband, the husband, you know what I'm saying. And here's what I found out. Sheep will not lie down unless they feel totally safe and comfortable and provided for. Sheep will not lie down if they feel stress at all. So you see, when David's writing this, that he leads me to green pastures. When David's writing this and saying, he leads me to green pastures to lie down in them near the streams that go. I look and I say, wow, okay. Now I understand a little bit about sheep psychology. That when they're lying down, they're going, ah, this is sweet. So the good shepherd provides. They're safe, they're comfy, they're in their social connection in the flock, their calm, peaceful environment. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says this, the good shepherd says this, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, all you who are stressed out, burned out, exhausted, feeling like the straw that's going to break the camel's back. The actual word picture of that verse is they used to take a donkey and they would put so many packages on that donkey that you couldn't even see the donkey's nose or body or anything. You could just see a rope coming out of that. That was it. It was just all weighed down with packages. So Jesus said, come to me, all you who are exhausted, weary, weighed down, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. So Jesus provides. The third thing is that Jesus corrects. The good shepherd corrects. Part of the Psalms, in verse 4, it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Part of that staff is the rod part. It's a stick, a good sturdy stick. It's used for beating away predators, but it's also used for nudging those sheep back to where they need to be. And then the other side of the staff is a hook. And that hook gently pulls back. It pulls back and rescues. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Somebody stand up and read Job 5, 17 to 18.
Blessed is the man whom God corrects, so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. For he wounds, but he also brings out. He injures, but his hands also heal.
Does God wound? Does God injure? You know what? When you discipline your teenage son and you take away his game system, he believes he's injured. It's the end of his life. Try it. Take away Ella's phone this week. See how she goes with that. You know, we look. Ella's like, leave me out of it. But see, that discipline of God, that correction, is for our good. Just like with our kids. And the last thing, the good shepherd protects. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. And in Luke it says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and one wanders off. Don't you go find it? The good shepherd is so concerned for each of us as his sheep that he comes when we start to wander off. And he says, come back. Do we hear his voice or do we ignore it? Come back. Come back. See, this whole thing, you're not a number. You're a name. I love it that the good shepherd calls us by name. So many times in our society, I feel like a number. Even when I call in to get service for this or that, I get so sick of, do you have the order number? Come on. Here's my name, my phone number, my address. I have that memorized, but I do not have 004K00111II. Is it not an II? Is that an L? I don't know. The number, I don't want to be a number. I want to be a name. So while the music team comes, I want you to know that, remember our identity, that you are a child of God? That you are a joint heir with Jesus. The good shepherd is for your good. He guides, he provides, he corrects, and he protects. He protects all because of his love for you. We're going to have communion together for those who would like to. And the way we do it here is you come up, you grab a piece of the bread and the cup, and you take it back with you, and you just kind of spend a moment thanking God for his care for you. And you take communion. David read at the end of that section I had him read, this that it says on the screen. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. This was about 4 months before Jesus went to the cross. He was again preparing them. I lay down my life only to take it up again. I'm not going to just leave it there. I'm going to take it up again. He knows his power. No one takes it from me. Pilate, you don't take it from me. Jewish leaders, you don't take it from me. Well, whatever your power is, whatever how great you think you are, no matter how big you think you are, you do not take it from me. I am the light. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. I am the resurrection and the life. And as it continues on, I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Our God is an awesome God. Our Jesus, his love, I just cannot fathom the degree. His grace, boundless. I encourage you today to put your trust in the Good Shepherd, to hear his voice, to let him guide. Let him guide. Let him protect. Let him provide. Let him correct, because he does it in his love for you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as we come to this table, we thank you that you willingly laid down your life, knowing your authority over death, knowing that you were going to take it up again, knowing that you were going to enter the grave as our sin and then raise victorious without it, so that when we take this bread and drink this cup, that we remember that you laid your life down willingly for us, knowing the new life that it would bring for those of us who follow. Thank you, Lord, that you had said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's eat. The Good Shepherd, I pray he's your Good Shepherd. And if he isn't, man, it's just so easy to start following him. Say, Lord God, I praise you and I thank you for Jesus. And I want to follow him. I want to get to know him. I want to hear his voice. Lord, I pray that you would go with us this week. I thank you. I thank you that you are indeed our good shepherd, that you have said you have come to give us life and give it to the full. Father, I thank you for that new life. I pray you'd bless the food that we're about to eat. Bless our fellowship. Let's laugh a lot as we play a game together. In Jesus' name.